Today's gospel story calls us to understand, see, and learn from the call of Matthew, to learn in our own lives. And the only way that we can do that, that we can really genuinely do that, is to place ourselves in Matthew's position. Father Brad, when we were standing up here, he just said to me, there's Matthew up in the picture. I didn't see it at 9 o'clock because my back was constantly to it, and I didn't look at that picture. When Jesus called the apostles, he came to them where they were, okay? He didn't ask them to stop working, to go to seminary, to go to rabbinical school, or anything. He took them where they were. He took Peter, James, and John, the first three called. They were fishermen. They were repairing their nets. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were actually in their boat repairing the net that had been torn. And Jesus walked up to them and said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. They dropped the net and walked and followed him. I got news for you. If I were their father, Zebedee, I would have chased after them with the biggest stick I could have found or an oar, and I would have beat them on the head until they got back to work and repaired the nets, but they didn't. Today, we see Matthew. Just look at the picture. He's actually sitting at a little table. On that table, we understand, there's a box, and in that box is the taxes that he's collecting, the coinage of the realm. My aunt was a receiver of taxes for a community upstate New York. She and my uncle had a dairy farm. My grandparents had a dairy farm, and my aunt and uncle had a dairy farm upstate. On my grandparents' front lawn, it said, welcome to Dorlew, New York. On my aunt and uncle's farm, it said, thank you for visiting Dorlew, New York. And they were a mile away from each other. That was the extent of the town. My aunt was receiver of taxes for the district. And she had a box that she kept everything in. And I can tell you that she guarded it with her life. You can just imagine what Matthew did. I'm certain that as a tax collector, people really weren't happy to see him. But he set up his table. People came, paid their due funds to the government, to the emperor, and he took it and he protected it. That's the important part. He protected it because if he lost even one coin, you know, he wouldn't have to worry about headaches anymore. But Jesus walks up to him. Now, I want us all to understand that at this time, Jesus hadn't performed a bunch of miracles that people would have jumped at his presence, okay? But he walks up to this man, Matthew, and I want you, now that I know the picture's up there, I want you to look at that picture. Study the pictures. Look at Matthew sitting at the table. Look at Jesus, and look at Jesus' hand. He's actually got one finger out, and he's saying, Matthew, come with me. I want to have dinner at your house. He's saying, Matthew, come with me. Let's go to Steak and Shake and have a hamburger. Let's have a shake. Let's have a hot dog. I love Steak and Shake. And what did Matthew do? By no record do we find Matthew saying, excuse me, Lord, give me a minute. Give me a minute, sir. I got to lock this box up. I've got to turn it in at the head table and make sure. No, Matthew got up and took Jesus to his house. He took him to his home. And not only did he do that, but there's no record of Jesus turning around and saying to everybody else, hey, you come, you come, you come. All of a sudden at Matthew's house, there's a bunch of other people that are involved. Peter, James, and John, Matthew, all of the gospel, all of the apostles. Andrew runs to his brother and says, I think we found the man that the prophet spoke of. How did it happen? What made them do this? It was not so much Jesus' words, but it's what he was about. It's how he was. It's what he portrayed, not so much by his words, but by his life, by his actions. To Jesus, each person was an absolute individual. There was no prejudice, there was no bigotry, no hatred. Jesus never said to anybody who walked up and asked him for help, what neighborhood do you live in? Where did you go to school? What's the extent of your education? Oh, you don't have a master's degree? I'm sorry, see me next week. Anyone who came to Jesus knew healing power, strength, and grace. Jesus said to his apostles at one point, he said, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. My brothers and sisters, there is absolutely no difference by the challenge and the mission and the commission that we receive at baptism. To seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourself. It is time for Christians all over to stop talking the talk and start walking the walk, with arms welcoming, voices soothing. As St. Teresa of Avila said, we are to be Jesus' eyes, his ears, his mouth, his hands and his feet, walking his path, touching the world in his name, hearing the world as it cries out, seeing the pain that is in it and responding, and speaking the healing words of Jesus. But not just speaking, it's got to be what we're about. One of my favorite places, and this is an incident that happened to me, and you know, I didn't expect it to happen, but one of my favorite places to shop is a shrine called Walmart. And, you know, it's a growing shrine. And somebody said to me yesterday, I had a sports shirt and these cargo pants on and a pair of sneakers. Do they still call them sneakers, shoes or whatever? Well, I had them and somebody said, boy, you know, Rich, you look good. You got a nice outfit there. And I went, Walmart, Walmart, Walmart. And I lifted my pants up with the socks and said, Walmart. If my wife wants me, she knows I've gone to Walmart. Anyway, I was in Walmart about 3 weeks ago. And my son, who used to come shopping with me, because so he could pick out his stuff, doesn't go anymore. Because he said, Dad, we walk into Walmart at 1 o'clock, and we leave at 4 o'clock. And by the time we leave, you know every customer, every cashier, you know all the people that are there, what they're from, how old their kids are, what their kids are. I talk to people. That's just the way I am. I'm a sociable person. And my son said, no, Dad, I love you dearly, but I just can't do it. Well, this particular day, I was speaking with a couple who were on checkout line in front of me. And we were chatting. We were chatting about grandchildren. We were chatting about children. And we were just having a delightful conversation. I do not end conversations with, have a nice day. I don't do it. My response or my exclamation is, have a blessed day. May your day be blessed. And so as I was leaving, they were within hearing distance. They said goodbye to me, wished me a good day. Well, the cashier took care of me. And when she was done, I looked at her and I said, her name was Mari. I said, Mari, have a blessed day. The guy turns to his wife and says, I knew it. I knew it. And I knew what? That he paid too much for the drill he bought in Walmart? And as I'm walking by them, he goes, stop, wait. I got to ask, are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. He said, now I got another question. Are you a preacher? And I said, yeah, I'm a priest, an Anglican priest. And he said to his wife, "See, I told you." And I said, "I'm sorry, what was that? Did I do something?" He said, "No, there was just something about you that you just seemed a bit different from a lot of other people that I meet in stores and stuff. I'm not bragging. It's just the way I am. I've been like this, well, all my life." But what I use that as an example, my brothers and sisters, because it's what we have to do. We have to as Christians. At baptism, we are sealed as Christ's own forever. There's no certain conditions. There is nothing. Jesus said, "I will be with you always, even to the end of ages. I will be with you, and I send you as I have been sent." We, again, my brothers and sisters, need to make Jesus about us. I have, or we have in our home, Roku. Heard of Roku? I didn't know what Roku was. My wife, who handles all the electronic stuff, said, "We're getting Roku." I said, "Is that the new Chinese restaurant down on 120? What's Roku? Why am I getting that? Do I have to go out and get it?" And she said, "No, it's the TV. We're going from Spectrum to Roku." Well, on Roku, I can get Disney Channel. And I was watching Lion King yesterday. And I make no bones about it. I'm a mush when it comes to TV and certain shows. And I cried during Lion King at certain parts. But at one point in there, Simba is running across because Rafiki tells him that his father is alive. And he says to him, "My father's not alive. I know he's dead." "No, your father is alive." And he takes him through this bramble and a very dark area, in a shaded area, and he tells him, "Look." And Simba, he points in the water. And Simba says, "That's my reflection." He says, "No, look closer." And then he says, "There, your father is in you." And I just started bawling. But I said to myself, isn't that what this is about? My brothers and sisters, you come to this altar every Sunday and you partake of the body and blood of Christ. God is not lost in our world. God is right here. He's in us. It's our responsibility by our actions to make him known, to make him adored, to make him praised. Simple actions of respect, love, and peace. That's it. We end judgment. We end prejudice. We end hatred. Somebody said to me, are you upset with, it was something, I forget about. I said, I don't worry about it. I have enough in my life to worry about. I don't need to worry about my neighbor's life unless they're in danger. Otherwise, I'm not here to judge. We need to, my brothers and sisters, live out the call of Christ, to live as he did. And I can tell you that when we start doing it, people will walk up to us and say, "I want what you have." And we can say, "Come and share with me." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.